welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. This week, the musical talents of the U.S. Army Field Band come to our region, what it's like to have played for the popular group in its beginning stages.
They're on the road about 6 months a year, so you eat together, you travel on the bus together, and you develop some really, really strong friendships, and those friendships remain with me to this day.
And increasing the awareness of our community to serve as a possible backdrop to feature films.
We have a lot of untapped resources that we can display, and there's a sense of pride in doing that.
Those topics are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm Guy Raz, the weekend host of All Things Considered. Our show isn't simply a recap of the news. We explore different angles on the day's stories, going beyond the usual headlines. When you listen, you'll discover something you didn't know, maybe hear a perspective that might surprise you. Expect to know more every Saturday and Sunday on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Starts at 4 p.m. Weekends on your station, 88.9 KETR.
March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Colorectal cancer is America's second deadliest cancer, yet it is treatable if detected early. Signs and symptoms of colorectal cancer include a change in bowel habits, rectal bleeding or blood in the stool, cramping, or steady abdominal pain. Experts recommend screening for men and women over 50, earlier if your family has a history of the disease. Talk with your doctor about scheduling an exam that could save your life. For information on colorectal cancer and screening, visit radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org.
KETR is supported by Greenville Sleep Center, specializing in the diagnosis and treatment of sleep apnea. Risks associated with sleep apnea include high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, and obesity. More information from Sleep Therapy Associates at 866-529-7828 and stat-management.net.
Welcome back to The Lead. Let's now check out the headlines from this week, our top stories throughout Northeast Texas. These are all up on our website, by the way, ketr.org. Officials say the drowning of a Sulphur Springs City worker this week occurred after his foot got stuck inside a manhole at Coleman Park. Water quickly rose above the head of 42-year-old Francisco Melendez after he unplugged a sewer line. Crews were unable to revive him after pulling him out of a hole nearly an hour later. State troopers say 76-year-old Delmer Earls was killed Thursday morning following a two-vehicle wreck in South Hunt County. Officials believe Earls' vehicle failed to yield the right-of-way at State Highway 276 and County Road 3608. It pulled in front of James T. McBride, the truck he was driving. McBride has been hospitalized. Both men are from Quinlan. District Attorney Martin Brady, who will seek the death penalty for a Mesquite man charged with capital murder in Hopkins County, 43-year-old Brian Allen Tucker is accused of strangling Bobby Riley and stealing musical instruments from Riley's home in the evasion that occurred at his home in the community of Mahoney in April of last year. Three women are alive today thanks to the heroics of two TxDOT employees who this week rescued the subjects from rising waters. The three had become trapped in a vehicle after entering a flooded roadway near Quinlan. TxDOT's Jason Dale and Dean Gatlin helped the women to safety. A lot of flooded roadways in our listening region this week because of rains. The city of Greenville is reporting the second spill at its wastewater treatment facility already this year due to heavy rains. However, they say water supply levels are not affected. At least 24 million gallons had escaped the Cowleach Fork at the Sabine River upon last report. Over 21 million gallons spilled at the same location in January, again because of all these recent rains. Erin Elizabeth Sari has pleaded not guilty to her involvement in an alleged case of child abuse in Hunt County. The West Tewakanee woman is one of two people charged in the December incident. Last week, co-defendant Trevor Scott Copeland of Quinlan also pleaded not guilty. President Obama has issued a directive to expedite the approval process for the 485-mile southern leg of the Keystone Oil Pipeline, which would run from Cushing, Oklahoma to the Texas Gulf Coast. Approval would mean the construction of the pipeline through several northeast Texas counties. Area lakes were among the beneficiaries of this week's rains, while Lake Tawakoni is now less than a half a foot below its fill stage. Other lakes also saw an increase in elevation there. In December, the lake, Lake Tawakoni that is, was down more than 6 feet, but again, now less than half a foot for below its fill stage. Despite that, the North Texas Municipal Water District remains under Stage 3 of its Water Conservation and Drought Contingency Plan. Phase 3 of the Highway 11 reconstruction and widening project between Wolf City and Fairley is underway. Contractor D.L. Lennon Incorporated was expected to begin road construction on the third leg of the project this week. The entire plan will cover a nearly 8-mile section of State Highway 11 from the State Highway 34 intersection to FM 2655. The City of Commerce this week amended its residential rental ordinance that relaxes occupant restrictions but put the focus instead on parking requirements. The revision includes new minimum off-street parking requirements based on the number of home or apartment occupants. Learn more at our website, as you can with all these stories, ketr.org. Finally, the largest induction class of first-year Honor Society members at Texas A&M University Commerce brought hundreds of attendees Wednesday night. Phi Eta Sigma and Alpha Lambda represents students who've earned at least a 3.5 GPA in their first semester at the university as a first-time college student. The more than 100 new members is the largest induction class in school history. Again, more information on these stories and others at ketr.org. Let's take a break. When we come back, I speak with Dave Kirkpatrick, a former member of the United States Army Field Band. That's next, and this is The Lead. On your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm Sherry Gardner. KETR is one of the best business-to-business marketing tools available in Northeast Texas. You can find out how program underwriting on KETR can make a difference for your company by calling 903-513-9684.
Hey guys, it's Gabby.
And Jasmine.
And Chris.
Make sure you join us this Friday for Lions After Dark at lunch.
We will be broadcasting live from the atrium of the Ray Byrne Student Center.
Come over and get your free Lions After Dark button and chat with us about the latest trends going on today.
And of course, the hottest music.
Tune in from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. only on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? So, Susan, ready to see what's behind door number one.
What about door two or three?
Sorry, Susan, just one door today.
You expect options everywhere else in life. Are you getting them when it comes to your medical treatment? Explore all your options and talk with your doctor about what's right for you. Knowing your options is the best option. Learn more at ahrq.gov. That's ahrq.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR, and a special weekend for Northeast Texas as the U.S. Army Field Band comes to the region. A couple of their ensembles performing in Hopkins and Hunt counties, taking place this afternoon over at the Hopkins County Civic Center Auditorium in Sulphur Springs. The band's premier show band, The Volunteers, will perform classic rock and contemporary music as well as oldies. It starts at 2:30. And then on Sunday, the Jazz Ambassadors will perform at the A&M Commerce Music Building. That starts at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and both programs are free and open to the public. And on the line with us now, a former member of the United States Army Field Band, Dave Kirkpatrick, a resident of Sulphur Springs. Dave, just take us back to the beginning and how you got involved with the military and with the field band.
Well, actually, Scott, after I graduated from college, from Ithaca College in New York, I had a double major in music and radio TV, and I originally thought that I wanted to go into radio and TV, so I, after graduation, I went to Wisconsin and took a job with a radio and TV station in Madison. However, I got a specialized letter from the President of the United States, and I was drafted into the United States Army. Well, I knew I wasn't too crazy about that idea, so I hoped against hope that I could possibly get into one of the special bands, of which the Army Field Band is one of them. Well, fortunately, and I passed the audition and made it into the band, and was in the band for several years before they decided they were going to open a new component of the Army Field Band, which before had been traditionally a concert band and a chorus, and had a kind of a part-time jazz band. Well, they got a new conductor in that was going to take the jazz band to another level, and he was a big fan of Stan Kenton, which used French horn in his big bands. So they selected me to be in the, what was at that time called the Studio Band, which was the forerunner of the Army Field Band. So I played with the Studio Band for about 3 years, and then went back to the concert band.
Okay, and this was what year?
This was back in 1973.
So you're just kind of in the beginning stages of the Field Band here.
Well, actually, the Field Band was formed in 1946, but it was the beginning stages of the Army Field Band's Jazz Ambassadors.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And which was 1969, and that's who will be performing in the region this weekend. What was your experience like?
Well, it was a fantastic experience. For one thing, I had never played jazz music before, and it was just wonderful to play with a smaller group like that. The band that that our Northeast Texas listeners are going to get to hear on Sunday is an updated version of that. It's a big band, and these musicians are so professional. It's going to just be a wonderful performance. I don't think anybody. There's one person that I still remember from when I was in the Army, and I've been retired now for 20 years. Is still in the band, but I'm looking at the biographies of the people, and they are just about everybody in the band has at least a master's degree, and many have doctorates, and just about everybody has at least a bachelor's degree from some of the finest music schools in the country.
And I'm sorry, your musical instrument again, Dave?
I played French horn. As I said, that at that time, the warrant officer that was in charge was a big fan of Stan Kenton, and Stan Kenton used French horns. This is a more traditional big band. It has, of course, the piano, bass, and drums, but also full woodwind sections, the doublers on the saxophone family, and also clarinet and flute, plus the trombone section and trumpet section, and outstanding piano, bass, drums, and guitar.
Was this the style of music you listened to before you even joined the band?
No, I really didn't. I was mainly a classical music listener.
Okay. Well, how did it convert you? I mean, did it change your current perception of the music itself?
It sure did. It taught me an awful lot, and I had never played that type of music before. But you know, after getting out there and doing it, I was you know, classically trained, had a degree in music, but I had never really played jazz before, and it was an outstanding experience.
Speaking with Dave Kirkpatrick, a former member of the Jazz Ambassadors of the U.S. Army Field Band, and the Jazz Ambassadors are performing Sunday afternoon at the A&M Commerce Music Building. Also this afternoon, over in Hopkins County, the ensemble, the Volunteers of the Field Band, are performing in Sulphur Springs there. That's at 2:30. Dave, we hear about members of the military and the camaraderie that comes with everything they go through together. Tell us a little bit about the camaraderie and what it was like to work with other members of the Field Band there and the significance of those relationships there.
Well, the Army Field Band and the Jazz Ambassadors are the most traveled military musicians. They're on the road about 6 months a year. So you eat together, you travel on the bus together, and you develop some really, really strong friendships. And those friendships remain with me to this day.
And they're a well-traveled group, as you say. They've visited all 50 states. They've been to this region before. When's the last time you had a chance to see them locally?
Last time I saw them was in Sulphur Springs, and that was about 6 years ago, and they performed at the Civic Center. The band is outstanding. They're going to play a little bit of something for everyone. The young people, the young music students, will get a large amount of enjoyment about it. The college students at the Texas A&M Commerce Music Department, the jazz band, Dr. Todd Gorenson, has invited all the music students. They'll just love it. They'll be knocked out. And the older people, they'll remember some of the they'll do stuff that you remember from the older days, so to speak. Some of the Glenn Miller things, Tommy Dorsey, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, but also a lot of contemporary jazz.
I would imagine it's hard for an aspiring jazz musician these days to break into the Jazz Ambassadors.
Oh yeah, it is. Well, I'm going to read you the biography of one of the players here. He graduated. Let's see. He's a graduate of music education from Hart's College of Music. That's part of the University of Hartford in Connecticut. He's got a master's of music degrees from the University of North Texas and plays for the Henry Mancini Orchestra. Also, has played with a lot of the biggest names in music, like Tommy Newsom, Count Basie, Dave Brubeck, Dizzy Gillespie, Clark Terry. You know, this is the type of people that you're going to audition against.
Wow.
To get into one organization like this.
Do people audition maybe after a stint in the military? Is it something that they enlist specifically for? What's the process these days?
Well, some people come from other units within the military, but most audition specifically for the Army Field Band and the Jazz Ambassadors. They'll publish, if they have an opening, they will publish that in International Musician and also notify colleges and music schools around the country. And then they'll notify them of an audition. Then they'll ask the people for their resume. The resumes that look like the person may be competitive, they'll invite them to send an audition tape of their playing and of various styles. And then those that that make it to the finals, they'll invite them to Washington, D.C. at the government's expense, and they'll audition before the band. They'll play with the band, then they'll all have a personal private audition with the conductor, and eventually they'll select who they'd like to fill that position, and that person will go to his Army recruiter. He will audition specifically for the Army Field Band, and after completing basic training, he'll go into the Army Field Band and because of the advanced training they already have, the advanced education and the graduate-level degrees, they will go in as a staff sergeant at a rate of E6 in the United States Army. But that is a stabilized assignment. They will remain with the Army Field Band for their military career.
Okay, well, you spoke earlier to the amount of professionalism this group displays in their performance, and I'm assuming outside of performing. Would you just speak to that a little more, Dave, and tell us kind of what we can expect on stage and off stage from the Jazz Ambassadors and the entire U.S. Army Field Band?
They all have high security clearances because of the sensitivity of their jobs and, mm-hmm. and the dignitaries that they play for. So they are always, this is a very, very fine group of young men and women. And you talk about professionalism. This is the ultimate in professionalism. They represent the professionalism of the United States Army wherever they go.
It's an honor to have them here in our backyard, and I think it would be a great opportunity for anyone in our region to go see them if they haven't before, or a chance to see them once again like you did 6 years ago.
You know, this is a free concert, too, and you just can't find a value like that. I know that the tickets are still available from the music department at the university. Nancy Melton is handling that, and her number is 886-5304. But tickets are not actually required. If you go over to show up at the day of the concert at the new beautiful new music building at Texas A&M Commerce, they are going to open the doors to everybody, whether you have a ticket or not, at 10 minutes before concert time, which is at 3 o'clock.
Okay, good stuff, Dave. Dave Kirkpatrick, a resident of Sulphur Springs and a former member of the United States Army Field Band, the Jazz Ambassador Ensemble. They're going to be performing this Sunday afternoon at the A&M Commerce Music Building. Also this afternoon in Sulphur Springs over at the Civic Center, the Volunteers, another ensemble of the U.S. Army Field Band, is performing. That's at 2:30, and both of these concerts free and open to the public. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Scott, for having me.
When we come back, we'll have our Friday feature for you. Don't go away. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, I'm Rick Howard.
And I'm Stan the Man Kratchman,
your host for Big Band Stage Door Canteen.
Inviting you to join us each week for the finest big band music with notable artists such as Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Michael Bublé, Helen Forrest, and much, much more.
So join us for Big Band Stage Door Canteen each Monday night at 11 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Every weekend on All Things Considered, we offer more than just the latest news. The program challenges ideas and searches for meaning behind the events that shape our world. All Things Considered gives you a place to travel to, a voice to connect with. I'm Guy Raz, the weekend host of All Things Considered from NPR News. Join us every Saturday and Sunday.
Starts at 4 p.m. Weekends on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Can you tell if this burger contains bacteria that could cause kidney failure? Listen. You can't see it either.
Use a food thermometer to be sure you've cooked meat and poultry to a bacteria-killing temperature. Raw or undercooked meat may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. In this age of improved media and communications comes the increasing demand for entertainment. That includes movies, and the possible locations for filming those movies are also expanding. Cindy Roller describes the efforts being made locally to make that a possibility.
Since 2006, the Northeast Texas Regional Film Commission has been promoting movie production in the area, working to connect filmmakers with cities, landowners, business owners, and local resources. Carrie Kramer, Sub-Region 1 Director for the Commission, explains.
The Northeast Texas Regional Film Commission is a group of essentially film enthusiasts or people that are involved in film one aspect or another that serves as a liaison between filmmakers, communities, and the resources in an area with hopes of promoting film and bringing filmmakers to this area and then making it easier and making resources more accessible to them once they're here.
The commission is currently seeking resources throughout Northeast Texas, especially in Hopkins Delta and Lamar County. Those with land, structure, businesses, services, or personal property that are open to being involved can have their resources registered with the commission.
We're seeking four basic things in the area. The first thing we're looking for is just simple things like properties, locations, houses. It can be interiors, exteriors. It can be something as simple as a neat, unique-looking barn sitting in a field. The second thing that we're looking to collect is a list of goods and resources that filmmakers can utilize when they're in the area. This can be anything from catering services to laundry services. And then the last thing we're looking for is business owners. And this can be people that have businesses that want to let filmmakers come in and shoot inside their business, because filmmakers are always looking for that, or businesses that have something to offer filmmakers that they may need throughout the filmmaking process.
Possibilities are endless. Catering and laundry services, hotel and equipment rental businesses are just a few examples. And what is your involvement and how long have you been involved?
I'm the Sub-Region 1 Director. I cover mostly Lamar, Delta, and Hopkins County, but I help out wherever I'm needed. We go all the way down to Henderson, Russ, Panola County, several counties that we cover. I came on last fall. There was no one serving those counties, and due to some of my involvement in the filmmaking process in the area, they asked me to come on board.
In addition to private individuals and businesses, Kramer said the commission encourages local city governments, counties, and Chamber of Commerce divisions to become members. The dues paid help the commission promote the resources in the area. The commission has seen great success with the process in cities like Pittsburgh and Jefferson, where local government and citizens have offered cooperation, support, and resources.
I want to see this area capitalize on those. We have a lot of untapped resources that we can display, and there's a sense of pride in doing that. I can give you examples when you look at the square in Cooper. That's a filmmaker's dream. It's an area that you can shut down for a day or a week with minimal disruption to traffic. It gives filmmakers space. There's no reason that films shouldn't be being made there. And the same thing is true of Main Street in Sulphur Springs. It's been redone. It's beautiful. It's aesthetically pleasing to look at. Filmmakers like that. And then Texas A&M University Commerce. That's a campus that during the summer months, there are buildings that are virtually unoccupied. The only reason filmmakers aren't utilizing these streets or these squares or these educational institutions is because they don't know they exist. So this is an opportunity for you to put yourself on a filmmaker's map, to let them know we're here and we're willing to work with you.
For more information about the Northeast Texas Film Commission, check out their website at www.netexasmovies.com. I'm Cindy Roller for the Cooper Review and KETR News.
Thank you, Cindy. We'll have this feature up on our website for your viewing pleasure later on today. Also, we'll broadcast this once again this afternoon at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered. It's what we do here every Friday on your station. And if you have a story idea that we'd be best told as part of our Friday feature, please let us know. Send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on The Lead and talk about the events taking place throughout Northeast Texas. That's next on your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm Sherry Gardner. A lot of home improvement projects are started in the spring and summer months. Remodeling, painting, new gardens, the list goes on. If your business can help KETR listeners get their home improvements done, consider becoming a program underwriter. Call the corporate support staff here at KETR, 903-513-9684 for details.
You listen to KETR at home, in your car, maybe even on your computer. You rely on us for quality programming, and we rely on you for support. Your gift of $35 or whatever amount is right for you will really and truly make a difference. So make a gift today by visiting KETR.org. Click on Support This Station and give whatever you can. It all makes a difference. And thanks for your support.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the events calendar for Northeast Texas. Well, taking place tomorrow over in Greenville, it's the 2012 Home and Garden Show. That's at the Fletcher Warren Civic Center. The times are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. A lot of events in Greenville and Commerce this weekend. Over at the Commerce High School tomorrow evening from 7 until 9 o'clock, it's Commerce Idol. It's the annual fundraising and biggest fundraising event for the Commerce Rotary Club. They've had applicants already, and now they're performing, and you can be in attendance at the Commerce Idol at Commerce High School, 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. An open house fundraiser for the Commerce Emergency Corps takes place on the downtown square at their offices tomorrow as well on Saturday. Landon Winery in Greenville will play host to the Claxton Welch Band on Saturday. That's from 7:30 until 10:30 tomorrow evening. The 18th Annual Multicultural Festival at the A&M Commerce Sam Rayburn Student Center is next Friday, March 30th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And also next Friday, it's the 4th Annual Chuck Pierce Memorial Charity Golf Tournament over at Webb Hill Country Club in Wolf City. That will be an afternoon event, again, over in Wolf City next Friday. We have a number of other events taking place this weekend and next, and you can even view a month away on our events calendar. As far away as you want to post that event, you can do so at ketr.org/events and click the Submit Event link on the left side of the page. That will do it for today's installment of The Lead. I want to thank my guest, Dave Kirkpatrick, a former member of the United States Army Field Band, whose premier show band, The Volunteers, perform in Sulphur Springs this afternoon, and big band group, The Jazz Ambassadors, perform Sunday in Commerce. And we hope you enjoyed our Friday feature, A Vision of Hollywood in Our Own Backyard. Cindy Roller told us about the efforts underway to increase awareness in our community for the possibility to serve as a backdrop for future films. We're back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And remember, you can hear archives of this entire show, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.